From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Stephanie Brush reading The Shadow Dancer by Margaret Cole. Now let's begin with Chapter 1. My relations, stand ready, stand ready. I bring you the words of the Father himself, Isunanin. The Father sent the lightning that cleansed and burned me into the ground. He took me to the Shadow Land, where I saw the ancestors, Black Coal, Sharp Nose, Yellow Calf, Little Raven, Medicine Man, Left Hand. I saw the beautiful women standing tall and proud, and the children running and playing with hoops and sticks. The Father told me to tell you that the new world is coming. Already Crow is flying on the clouds and bringing the ancestors back to us. They come with the mighty herds of buffalo, deer, and elk. Once again, the white lodges will spread beneath the cottonwoods. Green grass will cover the plains. There will be wild fruits and vegetables, and the rivers will run clean. The Father will keep his promise to us. The new world will slide over the old, like the right hand over the left. From a half mile down the road, Father John O'Malley could see the small white house reflecting the late afternoon light, stark and solitary in the empty expanse of the plains. The second act of Faust, de l'Enfer qui vient, rose from the tape player beside him and mixed with the sound of the wind over the half-opened windows of the Toyota pickup. It was the last Monday in May, the moon when the ponies shed their shaggy hair in the Arapaho way of marking the passing time. For a week, the temperature had been setting record highs. He turned into the bare dirt yard and stopped next to the concrete stoop at the front door. The curtains in the front windows were half-closed against the sun, making the house seem inviting, a shady oasis. A 20-year-old sedan with the rear bumper bent at one end was parked next to the house. He let the tape play a moment, then hit the off switch and got out, giving the door a hard slam that sounded like a rifle shot in the quiet. Anybody inside would know he'd arrived. He leaned against the pickup and pulled his cowboy hat down against the sun. It was not polite to bang on the door and call attention to yourself. If someone wanted to see you, he'd come out and say so. Beyond the house, the plains ran into the dun-colored foothills of the Wind River Mountains. The white peaks lay along the blue sky like a serrated knife. In his 8 years at St. Francis Mission on the Wind River Reservation, Father John had come to love the quiet vastness and the way the plains revealed their secrets when you happened upon them unexpectedly. The swell of a bluff, the cut of an arroyo, the patches of sagebrush and pink, blue, and yellow wildflowers. So different from Boston, where he'd spent most of his 48 years. He was an Irishman, from a long line of Boston Irish, with the same red hair and blue eyes and white skin that always looked flushed in the sun. He'd been a drunk in Boston, alone in his study, grading papers for his American history classes at the Jesuit prep school, sipping whiskey, a harmless relaxation after the long day, he told himself. He'd found so many ways, dozens of ways, to hide from the truth there, until the day the superior had confronted him. He'd spent a year in Grace House, and afterward, still recovering, always recovering, no one had offered him a job, except for Father Peter at an Indian mission in Wyoming that Father John had never heard of. 3 years later, Father Peter had retired, and he'd become the superior. He couldn't hide here, with the earth stretching into the sky. He was grateful for that. Your shadow was always alongside you. There you are, Father. Minnie Little Horse stood in the open door, patting at the white apron draped over her pink house dress. The sound of her voice surprised him. When had the door opened? She was in her 70s, with tightly curled gray hair that matched the pinched look in her dark face. Squinting into the sunshine, she waved him inside. How are you, Grandmother? He said, using the term of respect. He followed her into the L-shaped living room that extended into the kitchen in the rear. Another elderly woman. This would be Minnie's sister, although she looked more frail and sunken into herself than the last time he'd seen her. Sat on the sofa, needle in one hand, white thread dangling over a piece of tanned deerskin in her lap, an embroidered design of colored beads taking shape on the skin. You remember Louise? Minnie said.
Yes, of course.
Father John walked over, and the old woman slipped her free hand, small and rough as bark, into his. Her face was cross-hatched with wrinkles.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?